I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. In which military and defense reporter Julia Bergman made the trip from Norfolk, Virginia, to Groton, Connecticut, underwater, several hundred feet underwater. So, Julia, you were how many hundreds of feet under?
Yeah, so, you know, being a submarine, they're pretty confidential about a lot of things, you know, and exactly how far down in the ocean they can go is one of them. But, yeah, definitely, you know, several hundred feet below the ocean surface. An opportunity came up to go on the USS John Warner. It's a relatively new submarine. It was commissioned in August 2015, and it's actually based down in Norfolk, Virginia. And they were coming up here to Groton for some training because they're going to go on their first deployment in early 2018. So they're sort of very much ramped up in their training at this point.
You went down to Virginia and hopped on.
Down to Virginia and caught the submarine, you know, from where it's based at the Naval base in Norfolk. And yeah, only had to pay for a one-way ticket and rode it back up, took the scenic route, I guess you could say, although I couldn't see anything.
There's no windows.
There's no windows on board, so, you know, that makes it difficult to know what time of day it is, or, you know, there's no daylight or anything like that, which, you know, for the guys on board, time for them is really more about, okay, where do they need to be at this given time. It's not really about what time of day it is or whether it's dark or light out.
Or what their responsibilities are, or their duties,
right,
or whatever.
Right, it's based on what their responsibilities are,
Yeah, we have probably the most interesting people you'll ever meet. Like, I think more than anything you could possibly have out about the submarine forces, everybody is just ridiculous. Like, there's nothing different. Like, everyone's different, but we're all so similar at the same time that there's just, like, a kind of a dark sense of humor about everyone. That really just makes everything hilarious if you're willing to look at it that way. Just everyday things, watching somebody hit their head and their just outrageous reactions to something can be really amusing. And you're just like, wow, this is where my life's become.
The first day that you were on, what did you do? And as far as, like, you know, food and sleeping and any downtime that was available,
Sure. So just to put it a little bit in context, a submarine is just slightly longer than a football field, but it's only 34 feet across, right?
Wow.
So it's really it's really cramped quarters. You know, multiple people will tell you you're always in somebody's way on a submarine.
Right.
And obviously you can't get away. There's nowhere to go. So there's three levels.
Right.
You know, and the third level is mainly where people sleep and things like that.
But how much headroom do you think?
Oh, I don't know. If you're over 6 foot, you might be sort of cramping, you know. The first day was a lot, you know, it was about, you know, just maneuvering out of Norfolk. And, you know, when you're close to shore, that's sort of when the potential for something bad to happen is greatest. So, you know, there's a lot of people in the control room where you drive the ship at that time
Were you in the control room? Service.
I was able to be in there for a little bit. Yes, definitely. It was really cool. I mean, there's so many screens.
Right. Do you know about how long it took you to get out into open water?
So we left about 5:45 and we didn't dive until like 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So that gives you kind of a sense for how long we were on the surface for. I was in my rack. That's where you sleep, at that point. So it was quite the, you know,
were you awake when you
I was, because they have an announcement system, where they announced that, you know, we're about to dive. And so I heard that and then down we went. But then once we were under, it's completely smooth. It's, you know, it's like you're in a house.
You
don't feel it at all. But on the surface, you do feel it the most. It's when it's sort of, you know, given that it's a tube, you're rocking a lot like a bottle when you're on the surface.
And so sleeping, did you eventually get some sleep?
I did, yeah. It wasn't the best sleep, but you know what? The beds were much better than I thought.
Really?
They're called racks, and they're basically kind of, I guess, sort of coffin-like. I mean, they're, you know, they're bunk beds, but there's not much space above you. The length is actually pretty long. I think it may be made for somebody who's like, there's a couple guys who are like 6'1", 6'2", told me they fit just fine in the bed, and I'm fairly tall and fit fine, but it is kind of claustrophobic how close the bottom of the next bed is to you. There's a common practice on submarines called hot racking, where three guys will share two beds because there's not enough beds, or there's not as many that says there are people on a submarine. And the theory is that there's always going to be at least one guy up on watch.
Right.
So the reason they call it hot rocking is because sometimes the bed could be still be warm from the last guy who slept there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty common. I mean, there were some people who had mattresses on top of the torpedo cradles when we were on board.
Oh, wow.
Just because they had some special riders on board. And
I guess there are people that are obviously awake all the time. There's somebody awake, obviously. So
about a third of the crew. Crew sizes are about 130, 135 people. Yeah. And usually about a third of the crew is always on watch.
Okay.
At any given time. So, yeah, you have a third of the people up. And so, you know, it just sort of depends on what your schedule is. The submarine force a few years ago shifted to 8-hour watches. They were previously standing watch for 6 hours. So they basically were operating on an 18-hour day. And actually the lab here in Groton on the sub base did some testing and found out that, you know, it would be best to try to transition to a 24-hour day, meaning 8-hour watches, because that would be better for sailors' sleep schedules, you know, maintaining the circadian rhythm. That's important. And, you know, I mean, I think that it was met with mixed feelings. I think there's some pros and cons, people will say, but generally it seems like sailors are, you know, better rested and performing better and that type of thing, especially on longer deployments, you can see it more.
I've been here 19 years, so I've been through all that. And we were actually one of my last submarine, one of the case studies for that. We were kind of the first ones to deploy on an 8-hour schedule. So it's pretty interesting. There's some advantages and there's some disadvantages based on time management and kind of how you're going to fit in your used to the 18-hour day and rotation into a 24-hour day with protecting sleep for the sailors who aren't otherwise going to be able to get that time that you would normally have a lot on an old schedule. Either way, I mean, it works fine. There's perks to both. You know, some of the older sailors, they like the 6 hours better because they're just so used to an 18-hour day. And the way training was scheduled and stuff like that, you didn't have to worry about the protective sleep because it was always that constant rotation kind of helped that out. And it wasn't as long of a watch. But the 24 hours is good too because it allows the sailors to have that protective sleep, get that circadian rhythm. And overall, it's harder on shorter underways like we're on now. You know, a month is kind of about the right time to kind of get the feel of it. But over the course of a 6-7 month deployment, you really see the benefits of a well-rested crew towards the back end where your deployments in the past, when I was on a 6-hour schedule, an 18-hour day, you're dragging so hard, especially that mid-deployment, at the end of deployment, you know, it's a nightmare.
And there's no communication when you're on the sub?
Yeah, so, you know, you have to get to a certain depth, it's called periscope depth, to receive and send communications.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, these guys oftentimes are going weeks, if not, you know, a month or two without communicating with the outside world.
Right.
So that's obviously difficult. And actually the executive officer, who's the second in charge on the boat, and the chief of the boat, who's the third, the third guy, they actually screen all the emails. And they're particularly diligent about it on deployments because obviously there's a big concern about operational security.
Right.
You know, the submarines thing is stealth and you don't want people to be able to
We were at this port like an hour ago.
Yeah, they told me that people will get clever, like, can't wait to see you at the Eagles versus Patriots game, of course that game's on a specific day. So that type of thing. But the XO, that's the executive officer, he does tend to ask his crew whether they want to be informed of bad news if something were to happen, and they keep close track of the guys whose wives are pregnant or if they have, you know, sick parents, things like that.
Mostly I kind of feel like I'm ready, just kind of sad, I guess, to miss my wife and kid for this whole time, because my son's 9 months old. I'm going to miss him probably learning to walk and talk and doing a lot of, like, major milestones. I feel like I'm going to come home to a stranger, maybe. Is a little depressing.
If you asked me a year and a half ago, I would have said I am not looking forward to it at all. I don't want it to happen. But as time's gone on, I've become more accustomed to the lifestyle and start to like it a lot more now that I'm more in my job and doing a lot more of it. It's more entertaining and it's going to be fun. It'll be fun.
I have mixed feelings. On one side, I'm really excited to go. I know I'm going to have to come back with a lot of sea stories and hit a lot of awesome ports. But on the other side, I'm with Newts, and I'm going to be gone from my family for 6 months. And it's weird.
I'm actually pretty excited about it because this whole these past 5 years I've been in Navy, been training for this moment to actually go on deployment and actually do the, I'd say, the real job as sonarman. So it's exciting, and I'm finally glad that's approaching, and that it's something that's, the light is in sight.
A new submarine. First deployment, did you say?
Yeah, so it's the submarine's first deployment, and most of the crew on board, it's also their first deployment as well. So you have, you know, a lot of younger guys on board who, you know, are going to soon find out what a deployment is like. Yeah. They've obviously talked to other sailors and, you know, heard from their other, their fellow shipmates about what that's like. Right. And
anything that they shared with you about, like, being anxious about doing it for the first time, or what they thought they might expect to see or experience?
Yeah, I think they were definitely anticipating, you know, the lack of communication, obviously, and not being able to sort of know what's going on for home, you know, at home. You know, one guy made a good point about, you got to make sure everything's in order before you leave. He was a single sailor, and, you know, he needed to make sure that his car payments were going to be set up right. For, you know, little things like that that you don't really think about in our day-to-day life.
The biggest thing is, like, thinking about what's going to go on while we're gone, because when we go out, we don't, like, you don't really think about what's going on back home. You just get in a routine. You wake up, you stand in launch, you eat your meals, and you do any maintenance and go back to the wreck. So it's like setting up all your auto pays. You got to make sure your car is insured the whole time and all your auto pays are going out. Like, there's a lot of stuff at home that can go bad and you won't hear about it. He said, like, we don't have any communication, so you might pull into a port call and be like, oh, your car's getting repoed, and like you're getting foreclosed on because your auto pay canceled for no reason on January 1st. You know, so there's a lot of stuff like that we got to think about, but it is pretty exciting getting ready to go to a bunch of port calls. And I mean, like he said, we're out there, tip of the spear, as they like to say.
You talked about the secret of nature of deployments and how they kind of screen communication with the outside world just to maintain the security of the deployment and the submarine, it seems like such a fascinating job and such an amazing experience to be on the submarine. Did any of the sailors talk about kind of how they deal with having such a cool job and not really being able to share or talk to friends or family about what they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously the Navy rarely talks about submarine operations for obvious reasons. You know, the whole purpose of them is to be stealth. And so, you know, that's difficult for sailors oftentimes who can't really talk about what they do to their loved ones or friends or things like that. You know, one of them expressed, you know, going home after a bad day and not really being able to tell his wife about
why?
It.
Right.
One, because she might not grasp fully what it is that he does, and two, he just maybe can't talk about it based on the nature of what it was.
No. So, yeah, I'd say it is pretty frustrating. I mean, it's one of those things where you go home, you're tired, you're frustrated with your day, and your wife's just like, how was work? And you've got all these gripes that you want to say, but a lot of it you can't really explain because either A, she doesn't grasp completely of what you do, or you just can't tell her because of the confidential nature of the work. So you end up just kind of like, oh, it's fine.
Were there any women on board the sub?
So besides from myself, there was a Navy lawyer who was a female and a public affairs
but no sailors.
Officer with the Navy who was a female, but no sailors, no female right. sailors. So women are now allowed to serve on submarines, and
right.
that's been, you know, the Navy has been transitioning women onto submarines, and the John Warner currently doesn't have any women, but it's going to get its first female officers next summer. So there's really nothing they need to do to prepare for that.
Right.
The women will sleep in what's called a stateroom. It's actually where I slept on board. It's a three-person rack
okay.
in a, you know, closed room, small room. And, yeah, you know, talking with the crew on board, it really isn't an issue. It's not an issue, you know, as long as the person can do the job, that's all they care about. And
anything that you were surprised about?
So it struck me that even though I was on for 2 days, you know, it was kind of physically hard for me to adjust once I came back on land, and sort of felt a little out of it for a couple of days.
Right.
And of course, I was only on for 2 days, so I'm sure some old softs listening to this are thinking I'm being weak.
But laugh at you.
You know, one thing that one of the senior chiefs on board pointed out is, you know, we cover a lot of homecomings, and the it's obviously a very exciting time. You know, the families are cheering on the peers. They're so happy to see their loved ones. And, you know, oftentimes these families want to go, go, go once their, you know, sailor comes home.
Right.
But really what this guy was saying is, you know, these guys need some time to just adjust and take
right.
some time. You know, they've been working incredibly intensely for 6 months, you know, living in a very unique environment,
right.
cramped quarters, that type of thing. And, you know, it would be beneficial for the families to give them some time to just sort of
right.
breathe, relax, adjust back to life on land.
We heard the voices of
Nicholas McDowell. I'm 30, from Richmond, Virginia.
Senior Chief Joel Singletary, and I'm from Thomasville, Georgia. 37 years old.
Jacob Newts, 28, from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Patrick Riley, from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
I'm Mark McCulloch, from Chapel Hill, Tennessee.
I'm Marco Estrada, 30 years old, from Richmond, Virginia.